Welcome to Come and See, your podcast for finding truth in a world of chaos. Brought to you by Living Waters Abide Ministries. With host and founder, Richard Case, and co-host and retreat leader, Kathy Riccone. Join us every weekday at this time to discuss news, spend time in the Word, and receive answers to your personal questions about living life in God's truth. And now your host, Richard Case.
Well, good morning, Kathy. Here we are, and this is actually going to be airing the 1st of December, which will be Monday the 1st.
Happy December.
Typically, when we see you in December, there's a tree back there. So we're still ahead of the event of your decorating, which you do on Thanksgiving weekend, which is kind of fun.
And we're taping in October, so my room is not set up for Christmas yet.
And that'll be fun for you. And you'll have some new little people at your Thanksgiving event this year. And
yes, this will be Daniel's first Thanksgiving. We're so excited.
It's fun. This is the beauty. To me, that's the beauty of grandchildren. And they bring that freshness, you know, that energy.
Right, right.
And they get to experience. I mean, think about it. They're experiencing everything new. Mm-hmm. And if you can create this pleasant addition. And it's kind of funny because we see other side of it with our grandkids is that it didn't take long and they picked right up on it. Like they were excited about it. They wanted to keep doing it. It became a enjoyable family gathering that they really embraced, you know, because it was fun for them.
Right. And tradition provides a sense of stability and security for children. So
yeah, it does.
Helping them embrace tradition is a great thing.
Yeah, it really does. Yep. And it's kind of fun to develop. So that'll be neat. So as we've been talking about forgiveness and reconciliation, and remember, it always starts with forgiveness, which is a heart issue of mine towards somebody else, which could include myself, by the way, or we talked about it even could include God, but particularly somebody that's hurt me or has crossed my line of justice. Going to happen all the time because we're living in a self-centered world and people are in a position where they want to win, whatever that means. And they don't care if you're in the way. And if you're in the way, I'm going to either persuade you to let me do what I'm going to do. I can do that even in a harsh way, a dominant way, or I'll manipulate you or I'll just come against you. If I have more power than you, like in a business situation or a family situation, I'll just exercise that power and I don't even care what you feel. I'm getting what I want, you know? And so it creates hardship and it creates hearts that are looking at, this isn't right. God said, yeah, I know. He said, first of all, my nature is forgiveness. Okay. Mm-hmm. Why? Well, that's the basis that I forgave you. You couldn't do anything to become perfect. And because of your sin nature, you needed a remedy. And the remedy was what I did on my own nature to go to the cross and forgive you, allowing you the opportunity for reconciliation. Mm-hmm. So that as you look at our process, it's to get to that same place that he is, that toward that other person, and keep remembering they aren't reconciled with you and they haven't corrected that problem that they caused by crossing your line of justice. Yeah.
And you may still be living in the consequences of what their sin created.
Yeah, that's right. Or the adversity of that. Mm-hmm. That, you know, if you're particularly in a business situation and somebody does something that does impact your business or impacts your ability to gain something, maybe even lost something, you're experiencing that consequence. It's a real adversity. It's really, it really happened. You know, it's not like, oh yeah, whatever. No, he said, I really got impacted by this.
Right, right.
Or I am getting impacted by it. So, but he says, the first step is that person that has harmed you, including your own guilt and or other circumstances, I've forgiven that already once and for all at the cross. And to give and keep thinking this way, well, why? And what does that look like? Well, it's to give the opportunity for that other person to come to a point of reconciliation where everything is back to where it should be and that injustice that was done is apologized for and restored that I need to do something, you know, differently. And I think I've used this example before, but just as a way of example, if I was supposed to pick Linda up at 5 o'clock and I didn't until six and I didn't call her, she's rightfully upset. because I didn't honor her. And on top of not doing it in the first place, I didn't even communicate why and when I'm going to do it. So she's sitting there waiting. And then I show up and she's mad, rightfully mad. You know, she's angry. And I crossed her line of justice. And the truth is I did, see?
Right.
So before she processes that, if she comes back with hardness and deep anger, now she's deeply angry. That's okay. No problem. But if she comes back at me with that energy, instead of us working through, let's resolve this, I'm going to, interesting enough, react to that hardness.
Right.
And now we're in a battle, you know, and yeah, I did something wrong, but so did you. And now we're battling, you know, and because why? Well, there was never any opportunity based on forgiveness to, okay, let's talk reconciliation. So before she, let's say, you know, gives me this energy, she'll be upset and say, hey, you know, hey, what happened here? This isn't right. I'd like to share with you why this isn't right. Now, what she has done, see, she's stepping into that place of forgiveness. That her nature is Christ's nature. Why? Well, even though I did cross that line, Christ already has forgiven me for that. Now, he didn't let me off the hook for that. In other words, he didn't say, you can keep doing that and it's fine. It's that I now have the opportunity, Rich, for you to process that, to reconcile back because of that opportunity. And Linda, you know, has gone to forgiveness on the same basis she was forgiven. Yes, I've forgiven Rich. She, in other words, it's not eating at her. She doesn't come with all this hardness. But she says, would you be happy? Would you be have a desire to be reconciled? And we'll talk about what that looks like. So we keep remembering two separate, basically, steps. Step one is always forgiveness.
Right.
Okay, now think about the simple, think about the simple reason why. Why is step one always the first step for his forgiveness?
Well, because that is between you and God. He's got to get your heart right so that you can come for reconciliation from a pure place.
Yeah. And what has he already done for that person?
He's already forgiven them.
Yeah. See,
and so we will not reflect his heart for them accurately if we have not gotten to the same place.
Yeah. So he's saying, step into the same place I'm already at. See, I did it once and for all. It's already done. That person is forgiven. And I need you to step in with me so that the focus at that point, see, is release of that hostility and hardness and negative energy. The focus is on, well, let's see if we can work to reconciliation because of that opportunity. Is that, well, you're forgiven. Now let's see if we can get to reconciliation, which, by the way, has to be with honor, respect, and pursuit of truth. So let's look at the overarching truth about this of Christ toward all people. And that's John 3, 15 to 18. John 3, 15 to 18.
Sure. It says that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He who believes in him is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God.
Okay, so he said God so loved the world and basically so loved his created people, man, women, that he gave his only begotten Son so that those that believe will not perish but have everlasting life. Okay, how did he give his Son Jesus to us?
Through sending him to the earth and then having Jesus actually die for us.
Yeah. So he went to the cross on his own nature, took on the penalty of sin, and said the only remedy that's available is for me to take on the penalty permanently, which I then sent Jesus that grew into a man, demonstrated that life, and then went to the cross so that you now have an opportunity not to perish. And He didn't say at the cross, everybody was then saved.
Right.
What did he do at the cross? Forgave who? Everyone.
Everyone.
How much? All. Mm-hmm. Once and for all. See, he said, I permanently did it. Everybody is forgiven at the cross so that there's an opportunity now that wasn't there before, except for through the sacrifices that it set up through Israel, which was temporary, not permanent, that you now, if you believe it, you will cross over into life and won't be condemned. But keep remembering, so did he forgive everybody?
Yes.
Did he reconcile with everybody?
No.
No. See, that's why this whole relationship issue is so important, is that he said, I can't force you to reconcile. So even though my act of love was there for you and I gave you this opportunity, it still requires a free will choice. Mm-hmm. Would you like to now, because of that forgiveness, work through reconciliation? Because he says, if you believe in him, you're not condemned. But if you don't believe him, in verse 18, what does it say?
That you're condemned already.
Okay, so in other words, you stand condemned to start with. Mm-hmm. So every person is, he says what, has a sin nature.
Right.
They stand condemned and they will remain condemned, which means separated, perish. Perish means you'll never have a life with God in heaven. You'll be living in literally hell, separated from God eternally. So that the opportunity not to perish is through processing the truth of what I did for you at the cross and was resurrected, and that you need it, you require it.
Right.
If you process that, he said, then you will have eternal life. You'll be reconciled to me. Mm-hmm. And it's all because you processed that truth and received that truth. And because of it, we now can be reconciled.
Right.
And if you don't process that truth, he says, I can't change that truth. Mm-hmm. Because the only way is through what I've done and given you the opportunity to go to that truth. So that as we look at that and somebody hurts us, so they now stand in a sense condemned. Mm-hmm. Because they've crossed that line of justice. My forgiveness opens the door for the possibility of reconciliation. Mm-hmm. And I'm not going to let it bother me or capture me. I can come to a resolution about this and not be trapped by it. In other words, and when I say trapped by it, I mean we constantly are thinking about it. I don't want to be around this person. Every time I'm around them, I'm edgy. Right. I'm upset. They make me angry. It's not pleasant. He said, if you go to forgiveness, you could be in the same room with somebody, whether you're reconciled or not.
Right.
And I'll show you what that looks like. Now, I don't want you to stop at just forgiveness and say, oh, well, I forgive him, so everything's fine. The truth is, he said, no, not everything's fine. Why? If we stand condemned, even though he forgive us, is everything fine for me? No.
No.
In order for me to have it be resolved, life with God, I have to process that. Mm-hmm. And I can't get around that. And neither does he. See? Okay, now, he says, an interesting thing is when you do process that truth, a beautiful thing happens. Go to John 5:24.
Most assuredly, I say to you, he who hears my word and believes in him who has sent me has everlasting life and shall not come into judgment, but has passed from death into life.
Okay. So when you believe it, which means you processed it, I received this as truth, you pass from condemnation. Mm-hmm. You know, and see how he's building this, is that you stand condemned.
Right.
There's only one way that you can move from condemnation to life with me in eternity, and that's belief. Mm-hmm. You have to process the truth. When you do, you pass over and you go from death to life and you're reconciled. Now you're reconciled with me. Now we have another element of that, which is as a believer, I do know my eternal destiny. I'm reconciled to that. Every day I have to process reconciliation on a personal experience level. And the life of God. So, and this is what particularly hurts Christians is other Christians.
Right.
Who are very self-centered, don't care about me, and they're hurting me and they're harming me and they're crossing that line of justice. I do know they're forgiven in terms of their eternal life with God. But right today, I'm having difficulty with that. And he said, yeah, that other person needs to process the truth with you about what happened. in order to be reconciled to you and therefore reconciled to me. So they can live not reconciled to me, even though they know their eternal destiny, mm-hmm. which by the way is good news if they truly did. Now, ideally, if you're walking with God and you know that you're going to be with him in heaven, he'll keep working to say, well, don't you want to be reconciled with me?
Right. The Holy right Spirit now? Will work in that.
Yeah.
Yes.
And he said, now here's my purpose. So go to Colossians 1, 9 to 23. He kind of sets this beautiful thing up of reconciliation.
Sure. For this reason, we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing him, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power, for all patience and long-suffering with joy, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers in the inheritance of the saints in the light. He has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of his love, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by him all things were created that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created through him and for him. And he is before all things, and in him all things consist. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he may have preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in him all the fullness should dwell, and by him to reconcile all things to himself, by him, whether things on earth or things in heaven, having made peace through the blood of his cross. And you, who once were alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked words, yet now he has reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy and blameless and above reproach in his sight, if indeed you continue in the faith, grounded and steadfast, and are not moved away from the hope of the gospel which you heard, which was preached to every creature under heaven, of which I, Paul, became a minister.
Yeah, wow. So, he says, I've transferred you from the kingdom of darkness to my kingdom mm-hmm. of light, and because of I've redeemed you through forgiveness. Mm-hmm. So I took on the penalty. I paid for the opportunity for you to come back through the issue of forgiveness, which we've had great discussion of. Mm-hmm. He says, everything's been created by me, and therefore I am superior to all that, heaven and earth, visible, invisible, principalities and powers. And he says, all the fullness of God is dwelling, and read verse 19 again, up to.
For it pleased the Father that in him all the fullness should dwell.
And then 20, sorry.
Okay. And by him to reconcile all things to himself, by him, whether things on the earth or things in heaven, having made peace through the blood of the cross.
Right. And he says, I've given you the opportunity for reconciliation. Now, the word here is really cool. Reconciliation, he says, my purpose is to bring back to harmony the original condition of Adam and Eve.
Right.
That they were living in perfection, enjoying all the beauty and the wonder, what we teach in our Abide class, the seven exceptional things mm-hmm. of life, which is authority, provision, work, marriage and relationship, identity, health and healing, and communion with God. Mm-hmm. He said, my desire is now that you are receiving, that you're transferred from darkness into the kingdom. So you've gone in from death to life through my redemption of forgiveness, and you believed it. Now I want to restore things back to harmony. Mm-hmm. Okay, that includes your relationships. I want to bring back to harmony those relationships that you have of self-centered people that are hurting you. So what's my purpose? He uses the word reconciliation, harmony, restoration. So it's not just stopping at forgiveness.
Right.
It's that the work really is, in a way, because I've already done this, mm-hmm. and you as a believer have received that I've done this, that piece of it, I need you to work through, and that's between you and me. Mm-hmm. And I can do that with you. And it doesn't take long if you have a heart to do that toward that other person. Now, right. The process, really the intent of it all, is to bring back to harmony the situation. Mm-hmm. So in this case I talked about with Linda is that, she could say with honor and respect, you really hurt me and you really offended me and it bothered me. Now, she's not bringing her hostility or negative energy. Now, she's angry, properly so. But she's doing it with honor and respect. hey, Rich, would you be willing to talk about this? Mm-hmm. Sure. You know, here's what happened when you did this and this, and here's my feelings. Okay, I can appreciate that. I admit I made a mistake. I can't always guarantee I'll be on time, but I need to work at being better at that, number one. Number two, if I'm ever not going to be on time, I see that the best thing I can do would be to communicate to you. Mm-hmm. And honor your situation, because you're sitting there waiting and I know I'm going to be late, but you don't know what and when, and you have a right to know. So I'll work at that. So I'll process. Why? Because God says, I want you two to come back into harmony.
Right.
How does that work? Situation by situation. Mm-hmm. Is it okay through the forgiveness, and I have to forgive myself for the guilt that I have. But let's work through restoring harmony. And that means I'm going to have to admit, as the offender, I brought the offense. I see that I brought the offense, and I'm sorry for bringing that.
Right.
How do I restore that? Well, you got to work at being on time more, and maybe you're too busy and you got to schedule things better. And then if something happens, you need to let me know. Mm-hmm. Okay, I agree to that. I think that's a good solution. And I understand why that's important. Yes, let's work that way from now on. Hmm. Now we've come back to harmony, see?
Right. Now what's beautiful about the example you're showing, though, is that both of you have the heart to do that.
Yeah.
We're looking at each other as we're on the same team. God desires unity for us. And so we want to put aside our selfish desires and even our hurts and stuff and allow God to bring us to unity in this and to bring resolution. We don't always hit that with somebody, right?
No. And that's the issue, is that that's the ideal.
Right.
Because God, that's my purpose. And he said it'll go well for both of you if you have a heart to work that direction. Because I can bring harmony to both of you. And that's the heart of it. Don't you want to come back? And harmony is between you two, and you're joining me in my resolution. And now we're back to living life to the full again.
Right.
And that's what I'm trying to do. And by the way, when he says restoring, he said, that will also walk you into my supernatural work, which will benefit the fullness of the life that we described, you know, when Adam and Eve were living in perfection. He said, that's the kind of life I'd like you to live. Mm-hmm. And I can do it. Okay, so it's a different activity. Reconciliation takes two parties. He doesn't guarantee it. Mm-hmm. And he'll let you not basically live with him in eternity for the sake, because you, if you don't process that truth, you said, I can't alter that truth in order for you to be reconciled. My heart is for that. I don't want you to perish, and I'll keep inviting you to it, but I can't alter the truth, because it's, yes, I've forgiven you, but I haven't reconciled until you process that truth, which I can't change. So then the situation with Linda, I would have to process that truth. I did. And it hurt her. I have to understand that. Yep, I understand it. I see the truth. I'm willing to come back into the right path for reconciliation and harmony. So we'll keep doing this up, knowing, as you raised up the question, well, what happens when people don't care about that?
Right.
And don't have a heart for that? God says, I'll still solve the issue for you so that you're not stuck here with somebody that is constantly even hurt you or has hurt you, or I'm going to have to show you different ways. Heavenly Father, thank you for the truth of this, that there is a separation between reconciliation and forgiveness. Forgiveness is the opportunity that we can have to see if there's a possibility of reconciliation, but we can't alter that truth. We have to be willing to process that truth with that other party that has hurt us. So we just pray that we'll learn that that's the way. We need to know what to do when all these various things happen where they don't want to do it or they don't do it well. How do we live that out? And may you show us that in Christ's name. Amen.
Amen. Well, thank you so much, Rich. And thank you, listeners, for joining us. If you have questions from today's broadcast, send them in to us at questions@abideministries.com. And we look forward to seeing you next time.
We will see you then.
Thank you for joining us for today's episode of Come and See, your podcast for truth in a world of chaos. Brought to you by Living Waters Abide Ministries. Send us your questions and comments and tune in tomorrow for more answers to your personal questions about living life in God's truth. Remember, God's will is best and none better. His truth brings peace in this world of chaos.